Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Welcoming next to the podcast, we have my good friend, Sierra Nielsen. She is a speaker, entrepreneur, and transformational coach, and she is a certified personal trainer, fitness and nutrition coach, a meditation specialist. So she does have and works with people in their bodies, but in a deeper way, like the way that she shows up on social media. And you can look her up right now at Sierra Nielsen. She literally has an online following with hundreds of thousands of individuals who tune into her message on emotional resilience, body positivity, like true body positivity, while also working out and working on your health and really getting so in tune with you, building that confidence, working on that personal empowerment. And she is truly just such an angel. Like, listening to her voice on this podcast really put me in just like a calm place. And I know that it's going to have a good effect on you as well. So I'm so excited to dive in with her, hear her experience, and be able to use these tools to truly just tap in on a deeper level with yourself. So excited to have my girl Sierra on here. I am fortunate to live right next door to her and be able to see her all the time. But truly, who you see on Instagram, Sierra Nielsen, is the person that she truly is. And this journey that you have been through, and you're so open and vulnerable to talk about, Sierra, I think so many people are going to benefit from. So thank you for being willing to chat with us and open up about all of it.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. I love this.
So really where we want to just start is, where has your vulnerable, you know, kind of story started? And what's kind of opened you into this space of, which we'll eventually tap into more, which is self-love, kind of a buzzword, I feel like, that goes around a lot.
Yeah, it is very trendy at the moment. And I feel like people really don't even know what it means. And I didn't know what it meant, to be honest. I started this journey probably, now 5 years ago. And for me, it really stemmed. I've always been like what I thought to be a very self-aware person and was always really into personal development. But it wasn't until I lost my nephew and my mom. I lost my mom to cancer 5 years ago and just really hit rock bottom and didn't know what to do with my life. Just felt really lost. Didn't know who I was anymore because I had placed so much of my identity in who she was and her struggles and what we had been through together. And I vividly remember the day that I had just a massive shift in my life. It was like 4.5 months after she passed, and I was literally on my bedroom floor, like on my second bottle of wine, just in tears. And I just realized, you know, like my mom's time here may have been cut short, but I'm still here, and that's what matters. And so I was like, I deserve this second chance. Rebooted my entire life. I was in entertainment before and I didn't even know what I was going to do with my life, to be honest. I just knew that I needed to focus on the one thing that I never learned how to do, and that was how to really take care of myself and learn how to love myself. So that kind of organically turned into me wanting to learn about nutrition and learning about my body, mostly because I saw what happened in the hospital when my mom was sick and was really kind of disgusted with the medical system and what was happening. So I wanted to know how to truly take care of my body, but then also just kind of dive into that journey of figuring out who I was without her. And that took a lot of work. So I took like a year off and dove into personal development, self-love. And for me, that was so much more than just working out and eating well. It was like diving into my thoughts and my past traumas and the things I believed and the people around me, like cut a lot of people out of my life, you know, just really like focusing on anything that could really help me evolve. So that's how I got into what I'm doing now. And that was kind of, you know, it's crazy because one of the darkest times in my life also turned into such a blessing and truly gave me my purpose to be doing what I'm doing today. So
Thank you for sharing that. And I know we've talked about this before. And of course, sorry for you and your family's loss, because that's not something that's easy. And you talk a little bit about working through your health journey, you know, about 4.5 months after this trauma happens for you and your family. What does that look like, especially in the medical system that we're in, where you said there are frustrations there? How can people start to dive into some of these traumas that they've had in the past, or even be aware that that's what they're up against?
Yeah. Well, I feel like that could be separated into so many different areas.
But absolutely.
Like when it comes to the body and what I was realizing in the hospital, was when it comes to like nutrition and movement, they just didn't really care about that. Like I asked, my mom had one of the best teams in the country when it came to stem. I moved her to Seattle to be with one of the best stem cell transplant teams in the country. And I remember asking them, like, what should we do about her nutrition? What should she be eating? And they just told me whatever is going to make her happy. And as someone who hadn't even studied nutrition or anything before that, I was like, that cannot be right, you know? And there wasn't really emphasis around the psychological part of it, the mental part of it. And I had a lot of friends coming to me, like telling me things that we should be doing. And I was just like, at the time I was like, oh, that's kind of like wacko, but you just never know. But for me, I knew I was dealing with anxiety and depression, which still to this day I'm working on. But there was a lot of heaviness. And I knew my problem was that I was caught up in this world of toxic positivity. And that's a thing I like really am passionate about right now, because my entire life, I've always been that strong friend. I've always been the one that's super positive. Not a lot of people even knew my backstory and how much trauma I went through growing up and the struggle, because I always outwardly projected this life of positivity and perfection, really. And I had that moment when I broke down after she passed away, and I think I was just tired of being that strong person. And I felt like I couldn't share my pain and I couldn't share my weakness, because either people would get sick of it, or I was a burden, or it was weak. So I finally found like true healing after that. You know, it's been that first year was huge for me, but I'm still working on it consistently. Went to therapy, still have my moments. But for me, the biggest thing is honoring those feelings and honoring every single part of who I am as a human being. You know, I feel like our society has done a very good job of teaching us what's bad or good when it comes to feelings and experiences. And I'm just, you know, there's a lot of self-help gurus out there that are doing that same thing. And I'm just so against that train of thought. And I feel like everything that we experience and feel, we should feel wholly, because a lot of it's there to help teach us and to help heal us. And this is kind of crazy. I was like literally laying in bed last night. Like my anxiety kept me up. And I was thinking about, it's actually my birthday today. And my mom always used to send me flowers, and I just got to thinking about how she loved her flower garden so much. Like she would spend all of her weekends out there tending to her garden and like pulling the weeds. And I always think about, you know, how people make analogies about gardens and they refer to the weeds as negative. And I was thinking about that a lot last night, and I'm a crazy person. So
not crazy.
Yeah, I literally Googled, because I was like, sure, they're ugly and they're pesky, but they must be there for a reason, right? So I Googled, should we be weeding our gardens? Or like, I can't remember exactly what I weeded. And I found this very interesting. So I'll just share with you guys a little bit of it, like snippets. And pay attention to some of the words. Like, so it says, their roots stabilize the soil. Weeds act to shield the soil from the sun, protecting both insects and microscopic organisms. They provide a cover to prevent soil erosion. And it goes on and on. So like we've always thought of weeds as these like super negative things that we've got to immediately get out so we can protect our perfect flower garden, when in fact, maybe they're actually there to help us. And maybe they're only considered bad because of the way that we perceive them. So that's kind of the way that I feel about feelings, and that they're meant to be felt, and they all have roles and purposes. And I no longer believe they're good or bad, especially because a lot of times when we feel like we're feeling something bad or we did something wrong, then it leaves us in that cycle and spiral of shame that leads us to feeling unworthy, and then we beat ourselves up. And you can see how this just, the domino effect ends up really stressing us mentally and physically. Mm-hmm. And, you guys know, and I know this, like any kind of stress, and so much stress really has such a powerful effect on our bodies and our immune systems. And, we can talk about later, like how that really affected my own journey. But I just think a huge message for so many people that may be going through something difficult and don't know how to weed their way through it is to allow yourself to feel everything, because running away with your emotions is a surefire way to carry them with you. So you need to honor them. And yeah, sorry.
No, don't be sorry. This is absolutely incredible. And that analogy you gave is so beautiful. Yeah. So I really hope that people, take that in. Here's what's difficult. Like even me personally, I haven't lost a parent. I lost a mm-hmm. grandparent, and that was super hard, but I haven't lost a parent. And I have no idea what it could ever feel like. And I didn't even, there's so much that I couldn't understand in your struggle when you would go through hard times until I had a similar struggle to you. And mm-hmm. And it just opened my eyes to realize how alone people feel. Like it's easy to say, feel all your feelings, let it out, be vulnerable, step into it. But it's hard when the people around you don't get it. And it doesn't mean mm-hmm. they're wrong, right? But the normal answer for most things is like, oh, you'll be fine, takes time, like you'll be good. Mm-hmm. How do you recommend someone in this instance really being able to step into their feelings and not feel bad about it when the people around them just don't understand?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. And I definitely felt that way too. I mean, I was lucky enough to have a few people in my life that had gone through that similar experience. And I think that finding that is really important. Like I've had a lot of people approach me when it comes to loss, like even if you don't have anyone close to you, finding a therapist or a grief support group, because it is really difficult. And a lot of times I've had to understand that people, I thought I could empathize before because my mom was my best friend, and I'd always think like I could totally get what that would feel like. I don't know what I would do without her, but yeah, I never knew like how traumatizing it really is. And I deal with PTSD stuff now to this day of like, cause I was her caretaker in the hospital with her. But, I think for other people that may not experience that, just like really leading with compassion and getting rid of those cliche sayings like everything happens for a reason. That was the worst for me because I don't even know if I believe that. I believe that, things happen and we get to find a reason, we get to find meaning, but they don't necessarily. Like my mom didn't need to die for me to step into who I am. And I'm not grateful that she passed away, but I can be grateful for things like the perspective that I gained from losing her. But also struggle and suffering is relative. Mm-hmm. We all go through our own certain things and we are all impacted in so many different ways. Someone could literally, it was so, when I lost my mom and the amount of people that sent me messages about losing their dog. And at first I was so mad. I was like, you have no idea. But I'm like, they could actually really be suffering too. So like, I really just tried to lead with compassion and, just hope someday that someone doesn't have to go through that and feel that pain. But I think, I'm not sure if that answered your question, but just kind of like talking out loud through that. It's a difficult situation, but I think all of us just like really leading with compassion and knowing that we all are going mm-hmm. through something, mm-hmm. no matter how big or small.
Yeah, I think that's a great message to hear from you having gone through this, that the understanding that people who haven't gone through this have no reference point. They have no ability to understand that, you know, until you have that experience yourself. And I like how you led with surround yourself with the community that will understand or that might understand. Yeah. And then you will probably be able to get to that point of compassion to the people that can't quite relate to you faster. So I think that's a really good approach.
Well, I think surrounding yourself, one of the things that I teach a lot in my program is, you know, my blueprint is, you know, we first start with basically your blueprint, your soul ID, and like figuring out who you really want to be, what you really value. Because I feel like so many of us, it's easier for all of us to describe someone else than ourselves. And that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you can't build a house with just a vision in your mind. You have to have a blueprint. So you don't just think it, you say it, you write it, give it a voice. But then the next step after you like figure that blueprint out for yourself is what I call creating space for magic. And this is a huge part of it. Like during that time when I was really struggling, this was a huge part of my journey. And creating space for magic means getting clear and creating better boundaries and identifying those things that are holding me back, keeping me stuck, making me feel this way. So I did have to be very careful about the people I was surrounding myself with, that people that were not supportive of me, not necessarily the people that didn't get it, because I have full compassion for like, it's just a tough situation, but in that time, I just realized how much, like, whether you realize it or not, your external world is a reflection of your internal world. So we have to be super careful about the unhealthy people, things, and activities that we fill our lives with, you know? So I had to put down the bottles of wine and Xanax and really start like spending my, if I wanted to be better, I had to act like I wanted to be better, mm-hmm. you know? And that's a huge part of my practice too, is, you know, like we're constantly inundated with ways to better our lives. And we spend so much time reading stuff and flipping through Instagram inspirational accounts and whatnot. And, you know, sometimes it can get overwhelming, but like sometimes like that's not going to fix you. You're not going to put down a book and one day just feel like, okay, great. I love myself. I feel confident now. Confidence, strength, happiness, worthiness, self-love, those things are not just inherent traits in us. They're skills and they have to be earned and practiced. So it's not just a feeling, it's an action. So if you want to feel loved and worthy, you have to act like it. So, you know, you have to ask yourself, and which I had to ask myself, are you actually investing into your self-care? Are you prioritizing it? Are you showing up in loving and compassionate ways towards yourself, or are you self-sabotaging yourself? You know, same thing with confidence. You don't hope you'll feel confident. You get the opportunity to practice being confident, you know, and I think we all know that like low self-confidence and unhappiness often goes hand in hand with a mentality of scarcity. So really focusing on what things you have to be grateful for in your life, the things you can do, and the ways you can take action. Because, you know, they always say, you get in life what you have the courage to ask for. And to me, that's great, but it's not just that. It's not just the ask, but the action. So, you know, I can, through all my life struggles, you know, one of the things that I've definitely learned is that like strength doesn't come from masking the feelings of our heart or with positivity. It comes from leaning into them, by sharing them, by exploring them. So that was a huge part of my journey, and like letting them be my teachers and my healers.
Yeah, that is so powerful.
Yeah. So that's been a big part of helping me get past my own health struggles and my own journey.
Well, and here's the thing, getting past means that you're continuously working through, because like you said at the beginning, it's, you still go back into places of depression and unworthiness. And I think mm-hmm. that's what's hard when you're scrolling Instagram or looking for the problem or the solution to your problem, right? Looking for the program that's going to fix you, the podcast that's going to turn everything around. And mm-hmm. we get to realize that we get to play in this journey for life.
Yep. Yeah, it's not a destination journey. It's going to be a daily practice for the rest of our lives.
I like when you say it's not a destination journey. A little thing I say when people ask me about stretching and how long do I stretch or what should I be focusing on? Like I always say, it's not about the destination, it's about the sensation along the way. and in a similar way, like it is about the sensation you're allowing yourself to feel in your body every time those things come up. And I guess going back to your weed analogy, because I loved that about pulling the weeds and how when you look at social media, when you look at media in general, it's basically telling us that we need to pull all those weeds immediately and that they are no good in our lives. And so when we're talking about self-love, with all of that out in front of us, how do you advise people to be able to shut that out and focus on the stuff we've been talking about?
Well, one of the biggest things I can say about social media, especially in our world, when it comes to health and wellness and body image and body love, it's a business. And there are billion-dollar businesses, 80 million, I think, pretty sure like the beauty and health business, the health business alone, I think, is an $80 billion business. And their sole purpose is to make us feel unworthy. And that's what's happening on social media. And then we fall into the trap, and then we feel like we have to create all this perfect content and be a certain way. But like, we're all just being taught this. I loved the days before social media, and I feel like, you know, even as an adult, it's crazy. I feel so horrible for the younger generations, but I say that, but you know, we're in our 30s and we still get affected by what's happening on social media as well. But it's that, it's the awareness again, you know, like we scroll through social media and we unconsciously take in all of these messages that we don't realize we're taking in. So the first step always is acknowledgement, because what you resist persists. So we can't consciously change unless we're aware of what we're thinking and why we're thinking it. So we may not even be aware. Like if I do, some people that come to me with like body love issues and they are stressed about their cellulite and they're stressed about their roles, and I ask them, why does this stress you out? And they'll go back to what they see online or what they're, or they're told that it's bad. I'm like, yeah, but they were taught that. So who taught you're able to reteach yourself. There's nothing actually bad about that. Those are lies. We get to see in that process of acknowledgement what a lot of these opinions and judgments really are, and they're usually lies. And unfortunately, living with the lies we tell ourselves leads to that suffering. You know, oftentimes they do come from other people's opinions, which are projections of their own insecurities or their own internal battles. And once we get to see that, or what they've been conditioned to believe as well, they were taught it, because you know, especially as women, Jenna, I know you get this. I mean, maybe men do too, Dom, I'm not sure. But since like 10 years old, we've been taught as women to hate our bodies and to not feel good enough. So it's challenging that and continuing to, once you feel that feeling, to sit with it, to write it down, and to ask why you feel that. The asking of why is super important. I think a lot of people overlook that part. You can't just say, you know, that sometimes that's a problem I see with affirmations, is it's really great to just like, you know, say all the positive stuff, but we have to also, again, look at the weeds. We have to pull up what we're repressing and what we're actually feeling about ourselves and challenge that. You know, and we're never going to be able to be fully I guess the reason I say that is because we're never going to be able to be fully in control of the way that we think. I mean, it would be great to live in a world where we never have negative thoughts. It would be really great to live in a world where none of us had negative thoughts, right? But that's just never going to happen. So awareness is what gives us our power back. So, you know, and understanding that we get to choose how to respond to them. So, and understanding that those nasty things you're thinking about yourself that you've been holding on to, that they're only true if you let them and if you accept them and if you give power to them. So I would say the biggest part is, you know, going back to the weed analogy, is that acknowledgement. And I feel like we're just so afraid to acknowledge, and I don't want to say bad or negative, the difficult parts of our experiences and how we're feeling. But those are sometimes the most important and the things that truly help us grow.
150%. I mean, yeah. I know even in my personal struggles that I've had through life, if my mantra during that time was, feel it to free it. You know, yes. I'm not going to bypass it. I'm not just going to turn on some inspirational podcast and all of a sudden everything is going to switch. If I'm ignoring it, I'm lacking actually moving through it.
Absolutely.
And it's hard. It's uncomfortable because it's different than what we see out in the world. And I think that's what makes it quote unquote hard or weird, but that's also what makes it strong, which makes you grow and build this self-awareness ultimately that you're talking about. If you're writing it down, if you're asking yourself questions, you are building your own self-awareness without someone having to tell you what it looks like or what it should be and all of this other stuff that we are eager to have someone else fix.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. And I feel like the problem is too, I mean, the most feedback, I get so much feedback whenever I do share those struggles. And I used to be afraid of sharing them again, because I said I thought that would be a sign of weakness. But those things and those feelings and those experiences are what make us most human. And I really think that those are the things that connect us the most. And I think once you find the courage to be vulnerable and share, whether that be publicly or with a friend, I think it's really powerful to see just how much other people connect with that.
And I've heard other people, even people we've interviewed, say things to the extent of, you know, the first time you share it, it's difficult, yes, and you go through this experience, but each time you share it, it's slightly different because you're talking and saying it to somebody different, and they might ask you a different question about it. So it helps to kind of slowly expose you back to going through that time and time again in slightly different ways. Do you feel in your experience that as you share more, it gets slightly easier each time to talk about your own story?
Yeah, absolutely. I was scared out of my mind the first time I started doing this. Actually, when I first started doing it, it was out of like a fight or flight response because I needed to save money to save. I needed to raise money to save my mom. So the first part of me being vulnerable was sharing my mom's story. But then leaning into it after, I just realized, you know, at the time, I didn't see a lot of people sharing that kind of stuff on social media. And it's still tough sometimes. And I still have vulnerability hangovers because I'm such an introvert empath. But I just think we need more of it. And I think that that's, you know, really what's going to help people eventually open up to themselves and allow themselves to feel. And, you know, exactly, Jen, like I've always said, you got to feel it to heal it. And, you know, when coming back to the body, like we just all know that like the more you hold things in and the more you repress things, the more stress it causes on your body, which can lead to a weakened immune system, which can lead to disease. And, you know, and I think that's what people forget, like mental health and physical health are one and the same, and we can't work on one without the other. So that's been a huge part of my journey. As much as I want to help people get in shape and eat better, like you have to focus on the mental and emotional part of it as well.
And have you noticed things within your own body as you've continued to either ignore parts that you know you get to dive into, that you feel things start to act up and things start to, whether it's pain, inflammation, autoimmune, like what have you experienced in your body in this realm?
Yeah, I mean, my first big experience was 3 years ago. I finally went and saw a functional medicine doctor because I had been to so many doctors, and I just felt, at the time, I didn't know that I actually do deal with depression, but I just was so lethargic and couldn't get out of bed for days, like, but didn't feel like depression. And my body, I just felt like my body was shutting down. I was losing my hair. I was super stressed out. So I went to my functional medicine doctor, finally, after three different doctors. And he was basically, literally verbatim, was like, okay, you're a hot mess. And I was like, I know. Thank you for finally listening to me. But yeah, I mean, basically, I was on the verge. There's like a spectrum for autoimmune issues. And I was on the verge of, you know, he was worried that I was going to get an autoimmune disease. And, you know, my hormones were all out of whack. I had different viruses that I had to deal with. So much so that he instructed me that I needed to stop working out. Also told me I needed to break up with my boyfriend at the time and just rest. And I was, you know, my whole life I've been a go, 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 nonstop, 24/7 nonstop person. So that was very difficult for me. And I had also just become a trainer. So not working out was the hardest thing ever for me. But once I did, and, you know, ultimately, eventually after I broke up with my ex that next year too, after being super stressed out, and gave myself this past year, I would say is probably one of my most transformative years, because I really did give myself time to rest. And my body feels better than it ever has in my entire life. And I, you know, dove deeper into therapy. I released so much. And even, you know, again, I'm still dealing with the mental health stuff, but that I think is going to come and go. I think anyone that has dealt with trauma like myself, that's, you know, that's, it's going to be a consistent journey, but my body feels better than it ever has. By really just learning to listen to my intuition, listen to my gut, and take more time for myself to rest and to not feel like I needed to be running a million miles an hour. I mean, our society does that consistently. And for a while, I'm like, what are we running for? What are we running to? I'm so confused.
It's so
you
true.
Know, it's after losing my mom, one of the biggest, that was such a massive perspective to me about like what really matters. And really kind of taught me to just stop rushing through life and stop chasing all the accolades and the accomplishments and just first take care of myself and learn how to breathe and then actually just be able to enjoy some moments.
Yeah. And I think everything you're saying, it just leads to this journey of like, once you start building that self-awareness, you come to this trust within yourself, because then I know how to listen to signals. I know how to know, like, if I am feeling different ways in my body or lethargic or whatever might be happening, now that I've dove in so deep and I've given myself this space to even start to observe what could be happening, I can now understand where the true cause is coming from. And that we have to take in these stressors in our lives that we don't even realize are stressors a lot of the time, because it's just like, well, this is life. This is what I do. This is what I have to, you know, deal with every day. And a lot of people don't even take that in as stressors or as emotional things that are hard on their body. And I think we get to really take time to become observant of that for ourselves.
Yeah, for me, I think one of the biggest ones was learning how to pay attention to my body's energy levels and listening to it instead of consistently pushing myself through. And I think we all have that problem. But our body really keeps the score, and we've got to pay attention and not ignore it.
We must bring on a common thread of people, because we've had like 4 or 5 guests that have brought up the body keeps the score line, which of course is also an amazing book.
It is an amazing book. It is. Yeah, and I recommend everyone to read that, because it's super powerful. And it really has everything to do with what we're talking about now.
Exactly.
Definitely.
And really diving into that internal health, which we all ignore so much. And I think once we dial in on that, I think I always feel like that should be one of the first focuses, because, you know, we all carry so much shame and self-hate inside, and we feel like if we can fix the outside, we'll love our insides, but it doesn't work like that. You can't shame your way into a version of yourself that you love. You know, you have to learn to love who you are within, the good and the difficult. And once you begin that journey, then the ripple effect starts happening, and your outer begins to become more healthy too. It's almost just kind of like a bonus to finding that inner love, you know?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. And I think that is an amazing line to kind of wrap up on. And can you tell people a little bit more about where they can find more out about you and what you do, and any last thoughts you'd want to leave everyone with?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my last thoughts would really just be to everyone out there to keep challenging yourself, challenge the norm, keep asking yourself the questions and digging deeper to getting to know yourself, because it really is, as cliche as it sounds, like the the most important relationship in your life. And you guys can find me on social media. All my handles are at Sierra Nielsen. My website is sierranielsen.com. I am a trainer and nutritionist, but I also do self-love online training as well. And hopefully in the new year, I'll be relaunching my programs. So you can stay tuned for that.
Yay. Honestly, I wrote down also Vulnerability Hangovers, and I feel like that's a good book title for you. So
Yeah, that's probably true. My whole life is a vulnerability hangover.
You have, and also I just have to say, like, you need to come out with like a mindfulness album or something, because just listening to this podcast as I'm talking with you, it's just like so soothing, and you're so like compassionate and empathetic. Mm. I can just like feel it. So anyways, thanks, I just needed to say that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Of course, Boo. I love you.
I love you too. And I'm looking forward to our glass of wine later.
Yes, me too. For your birthday. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Sierra.
Thank you.
And there we have it, yet another amazing guest on the Optimal Body Podcast. So now what we ask of you, if you loved any bit of that or resonated with it, go share it out, share it with a friend, share it on your social media, because you know there are more people out there that would resonate with it just the same. Also, subscribe, rate, review on your favorite podcast app so we know what you want to learn or other guests that you think we should bring on for you in the future. Keep tuning in to find your optimal body.